The research is clear. Not getting enough sleep is dangerous, even deadly. Drowsy driving causes fatal car accidents. Inadequate sleep contributes to obesity and diabetes. Or, as a writer in The Guardian put it after reading Matthew Walker's terrific book, Why We Sleep, not sleeping has been making me stupider, fatter, unhappier, poorer, sicker, worse at sex, as well as more likely to get cancer, Alzheimer's, and die in a car crash. And yet many of us just can't sleep, even knowing that. And students top the list. There's homework, sports, clubs, bravado. Many get just a few hours a night. Well, now some schools are taking action. Dr. Charles Seisler is chief of the Division of Sleep and Circadian Disorders at Brigham and Women's Hospital in Boston. They have a Sleep Matters initiative. He also teaches a sleep class at Harvard University. And because of the success of that class, Harvard now has a mandatory online sleep class for incoming freshmen, and it's going to be expanded to upperclassmen as well. Dr. Seisler is with us in the studio. Welcome.
Thank you very much.
You were just telling us that Harvard was so pleased with what happened when the freshman students took this online course before coming in. Why? What were they pleased about? What happened that they want to now extend this online course to all the students?
Well, they were pleased by, first of all, the response. More than 90% of the students took the course, and students were actually lining up to fill out the questionnaire about their positive responses to the pre-matriculation program.
Well, what are you fighting against? I mean, anyone who's been in school knows that there is almost a, you know, leave to the last minute part of this where kids are working overnight. But we understand that in some schools now, including Harvard, some of their study groups meet at 10 or midnight.
Or 1 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
And there's, of course, one of the most popular courses, a computer science course that has actually hackathons where the students are scheduled to work all night as part of the course. And then they have their other responsibilities. I mean, the football team has them getting up at 4:30 in the morning to be lifting weights just after 5. And then they may have another class that has evening classes. So the students are being pulled in many different directions. Many times problem sets are due, let's say, at 8 o'clock in the morning or 9 o'clock in the morning. And that just is a setup for the students staying up all night.
Well, I want to extend this to all young people because not everyone goes to college. And not everyone is staying up late in high school because they're finishing their science project. They have phones and they have their social media. That's keeping kids up.
Absolutely. In fact, just the light, the predominant wavelength that is driving that light that we're seeing on the screen is in the blue part of the spectrum, which tells the brain that it's daytime. It's like the blue sky. And that resets our circadian rhythms, and it makes it actually more difficult for us to fall asleep. And it does so in kind of an insidious manner because the internal clock sends the strongest drive for waking just before what would be dusk. So during evolution, we couldn't see during the nighttime, and the brain sent a powerful waking signal so we would get our act together and be in a safe place when it got dark and we couldn't see anything. Well, that worked great at that time, but now we have, through artificial light exposure, shifted our circadian rhythms by 4 or 5 time zones westward just by the light that we get exposed to between dusk outside and when we decide to switch off the lights.
Well, there's that. We talked about some of the health issues that arise just from not sleeping enough. We've read Matthew Walker's terrific book, Why We Sleep, which is now out in paperback. We've seen the National Geographic Channel, Sleepless in America. You're featured in there. So, I mean, not sleeping really can be fatal?
Well, I mean, you talked about the motor vehicle crashes. Nearly 7,000 people a year die in sleep-related crashes on our nation's highways. It's responsible for 1 out of 5 car crash injuries and deaths.
Well, and in Matthew Walker's book, you know, he lists the problems that can be caused, including the car crashes, but he also does a fun thing where he does a fake ad for a new miracle drug that will make you live longer, enhance your memory, make you more attractive because it keeps you slim, protects you from cancer and dementia. It wards off colds and flu. It lowers your risk of heart attacks and stroke, not to mention diabetes. Are you interested? Well, of course, it's sleep.
Absolutely.
Sleep keeps you thin? Sleep keeps you, keeps colds
away? It does. It reduces
your
appetite. I mean, if you're not getting enough sleep, for example, when you get the flu shot, you only have half the antibody response. If you're sleeping, let's say, less than 5 hours a night, you have a 300% increased risk over a 5-year period of calcification of the coronary arteries, which leads to heart attacks and other adverse outcomes.
As I said, I want to go lay down right now and just prepare for the Grim Reaper. But how do you convey this to students? And it's part of the culture to see, you know, who can stay up the latest.
Well, part of the program, we call it Sleep 101. It's a very interactive program in which, for example, there's a dorm room. And the students can click on a coffee cup in the dorm room and find out that caffeine has a 6 to 9 hour half-life. And many people are not aware of that, that they may take a cup of coffee after dinner and not realize that 6 hours later they still have half of that caffeine on board. Mm. So they get information like they click on their sneakers and they find out that if they tank up on sleep, they can improve their reaction time. If they're on a sports team, they'll shorten the turn time in swimming. They can get more basketball free throws in. And one of the things that students don't realize is that it's not just the amount of sleep, but a consistency in the timing of sleep.
Yeah.
So students have irregular schedules. They don't do as well academically. And one of the reasons we think that underlies that is that if you have an irregular schedule, usually the internal clock shifts you later. So when we've studied Harvard students, we found that those who had irregular schedules, even if they got the same duration of sleep at inconsistent times, they were shifted to California time, even though they were studying here in Boston. Mm. And that meant that if they have a 8 or 9 a.m. class, that would be happening at 5 or 6 a.m. biological time on their internal clock. So it's no wonder that they don't do as well in those classes, because when they take the test or when they're trying to pay attention,
wow,
it's the middle of the night.
Wow. So how do you change school life so that kids can sleep more? I mean, maybe an obvious thing is not have a study group at 1 a.m.
Right. So when I have been teaching a freshman seminar, every year at the end of the term, the 15 students in the seminar have to make a TED-like talk in which they make a case for what they think could improve sleep health, for example, that there should be an 11-hour interval, one student argued, between the end of the last scheduled activity, school-sanctioned activity, and the first scheduled activity in the morning. Another student suggested that assignments be due 10 o'clock in the evening rather than at 9 o'clock in the morning.
So look, you're working, we're talking to you most specifically about students, but you've got this Sleep Matters initiative from Brigham and Women's Hospital. And, you know, there are specific groups of people who need help, shift workers. Firefighters who took this program were 24% less likely to report an injury, used half as many disability days. I mean, you really can trace how, you know, life is just better from injuries to work output because of sleep. And we'll post some of this at hearnow.org.
The thing I was excited about that is that a lot of people had given up on firefighters and said, well, they work 24 to 48-hour shifts. There's nothing you can do to help their sleep. And we implemented a simple program of sleep health education and wellness for the firefighters. It took about an hour.
Give me one detail.
So we did sleep disorder screening, for example. For 10 minutes, they filled out a few validated questionnaires, and we identified if they're at high risk for sleep apnea or chronic insomnia or other disorders, and we referred them to treatment. Turns out that 1 out of 3 men and 1 out of 6 women have sleep apnea. And that means that even if they set aside the time for sleep, if you can't breathe and sleep at the same time, you're not going to get the rest that you need. And when we first came to present to them, they made fun of the whole thing. They brought pillows to the sessions, were kidding everybody, saying, oh, I got to have my sleep session and so on. But then when we started showing them the information, we feel that this is it's a right for people to have this information, to understand that untreated sleep apnea, for example, after 18 years, only 58% of them are still alive, as opposed to 94% of them without sleep apnea, mm-hmm, because it increases the risk of cardiovascular death by 420%.
Mm-hmm.
And we've had amazing feedback from people who say, oh my God, this changed my whole life. My depression was resolved. I didn't need to stay on medications anymore. My marriage came back together. It can really have a major impact. And all we provide people is information and screening.
But what if you just, you know, you want to sleep more and you just, you put your head down and you can't?
So if for people with chronic insomnia, let's say, one thing that they can do, and which is quite effective, is cognitive behavioral therapy for insomnia. It can be done online. One program is called Sleepio, another is called Shut Eye. These are interactive programs, again, that help identify sleep stealers in the environment. And that's part of our education program, too. You know, I love dogs, for example, but we have two, but they don't belong in the bed because they're quite disruptive to sleep. And so there are a lot of tips that are provided.
Try a cat.
Right. Alcohol interferes with sleep. Yeah. So every shot, it takes 2 hours to metabolize, or every glass of wine. And then there are some new technologies. There's a new product called an EB, which is, it's kind of like a little headband, which actually does brain cooling to help people with chronic insomnia get to sleep faster. And that's just been approved by the FDA.
I'm writing that Sleepio, shut I with the letter I, and EB. Again, well, not that I would need this.
Of course not.
Desperately. Just terrific. Dr. Charles Seisler, who teaches a sleep class at Harvard University, which is also offering online courses to all the students now. He's also behind the Sleep Matters Initiative at Brigham and Women's Hospital, where he's chief of the Division of Sleep and Circadian Disorders. Thanks so much for speaking to us.
Thank you. I really enjoyed it.
And we'll have a lot of links to everything we talked about at hereandnow.org. And by the way, Dr. Seisler also told us that if you're taking over-the-counter melatonin, he believes it doesn't work to help you sleep. But there are some things in the pipeline that will. We'll have him back to talk about that, you know, just for the students.